This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. For everybody listening on Saturday, and even more so those listening on Sunday, I hope everybody has a great Mother's Day out there. All the guys that are listening, yes, I know we need to go through this year after year, but hey, for the first time, my wife gets to celebrate Mother's Day, so something new for us in the Fleck household. Enough about me, let's talk about the markets and what we're experiencing on a broad sense. To kick off the show, in the first two segments, I am chatting with Jesse Felder. He is the founder and editor of the Felder Report. I cannot stress enough how valuable this website is in terms of investing, especially if you are a member. Jesse does dive down into some more investing themes, but even just visiting his site on a regular basis for his free content, I think you get a feeling of just how bright Jesse is. And Jesse, what we're going to first talk about, which I know our audience is going to like, is the general resource sector, especially gold and gold stocks. I want to get a quick comment from you because you had a recent conversation that addressed just how hated the gold sector is in your eyes and through your recent conversation. How hated is this sector still?
Well, I mean, I think there's a few ways to look at it. Right before we came on the air, I was just mentioning I recently had a conversation with Simon Mikhailovich. And published that as a podcast, that conversation. And he's really, one of the gold experts I look to kind of get a feel for these things. And, you know, I was just saying to him, I first became interested in gold just a few years ago, you know, in 2015, 16, you know, or, you know, late 2015 when what I noticed was gold had become just so hated, you know, when you see the media, you know, calling it a pet rock and all this stuff, you know, it's so obvious to me, and as a value investor, that really piqued my interest. And he said, you know, Jesse, gold is still just as hated as it was then, if not more so now. I mean, you look at the sale of, you know, Gold Eagles and the interest in gold as an investment, just as indicated by that, is, you know, at multi-year lows. So there's just no interest. But to me, just as a value investor, I look at the valuation of these gold stocks. I recently wrote a blog post where I called the big four, that, you know, Barrick, Agnico Eagle, Newmont, and Gold Corp, you know, the bang stocks. There's the fang stocks, which everybody loves, the tech stocks, and they're so, you know, trading at such a massive valuation, that indicates to me how much euphoria is built into those stocks. The bang stocks are exactly the opposite, right? You know, these four stocks are so neglected and out of favor that the valuation is so cheap. And when I say that, basically what I'm looking at is the historical record of these companies. And so I went back 20 years and said, let's go back to 1998 and look at the valuation of these things back over 20 years. And because, you know, the 2000, 2001, 2002 time frame was a great time to be buying these stocks. They got extremely cheap back then, and right before, you know, the gold price took off. Today, they're actually cheaper than they were back then, and that's just astounding to me.
Yeah, Jesse, one thing that we've been pointing out too is the criticism around some of these bank stocks is the fact that they kind of ruin some of their portfolio of assets by taking on some marginal assets and by having cost increase on them to a huge extent. But they've cleaned up a lot of these issues, and they're producing some very good financial results and building a nice cash position in pretty much all of the bank stocks. Why do you think, though, still that they aren't getting any value from any investors when we consider the gold? If you look back at 20-year chart of gold, it looks so different than the 20-year chart of these major gold stocks.
Yeah, I think, you know, most investors invest by looking in the rearview mirror. And so criticizing for these companies for what they did over the last 10 years in terms of, you know, their assets and their balance sheets and things is why the stocks are cheap today. But that doesn't tell you anything about what's going to happen over the next, you know, 5 years or 10 years. And like you said, a lot of these companies have cleaned up their act. They've gotten much more disciplined with their capital allocation, and high-graded a lot of their, you know, assets and, you know, kind of disposed of non-core assets and things and reduced their leverage. You know, I mean, they've been forced to take on more discipline just through this gold bear market, you know, since 2011. So, you know, and that's obvious when you look at the profitability of these companies. They're just looking at the median operating margin of the group. And, you know, Agnico Eagle and Goldcorp were, you know, losing money in the early 2000s, you know, late 90s when, you know, gold, the last time gold was really hated before the last big bull market took off. Today, people, you know, hate these stocks, but median operating margin is still close to 20% for these companies. So they're actually much more profitable than they were back then. And so to me, that's astounding that you have profitability be much better and still the valuation, you know, be so low. It's remarkable.
What's it going to take in your eyes for money to flow into this sector? Is it going to have to be a higher gold price? Is it going to be some shakiness in the U.S. markets, or is it going to be something totally else?
I think gold is, as my friend Diego Perea says, it's not if gold's going to break higher, it's when. And I think we're getting really, really close. And when gold does break higher, these gold stocks are really going to take off. And, I think the upside for gold, like I've said to you many times before, I think is, you know, could be in terms of the thousands of dollars in terms of upside for the gold price. And so, you know, these things are very, very well positioned to take advantage of that. And, you know, that's what everybody's waiting to see is this, you know, break above 1350 on the gold price. If, you know, not if, sorry, when that happens, the stocks are going to follow dramatically. And, you know, I think we're also seeing in their business right now already, you know, another thing I noted in that post was when you look at the medium three-year revenue growth for these companies, you know, it was negative back in the late 90s, and that's why the stocks, you know, were kind of faltering back then. But then revenue growth turned positive, that three-year revenue growth turned positive in about 2001, 2002, and that's when the stocks really started taking off. To me, I look at today, the three-year revenue growth for these companies is already positive, but the stock prices are not reflecting that yet. So that's, to me, just like an arbitrage situation where the stock prices should be reflecting these higher profitability, revenues growing again, and they're just not. And so that leaves, I think, an opportunity to see these valuations go back to their historical norms, and that would probably make for even just a 50% gain in the share prices, even without a gain in the gold price. So, you know, they have, once gold breaks out, they're going to have to catch up to these median valuations. And then, you know, the revenue growth will make for even more upside. So I just see a lot to like.
Okay. Well, one thing we've pointed out time and time again is that these stocks really do need to start moving, and we'll see some more bigger money come into the sector, but that just hasn't happened yet. What about balancing out for those people who want to play some of the smaller stocks in the sector? I know that you like sticking to the big mining companies, but how about a little balance, too, of some of the more speculative guys?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be more, it depends on your risk tolerance, really. I focus on the big ones because I think they probably have less, you know, country-specific risk and a lot of the kind of idiosyncrasies that the smaller ones, have. And so, I don't necessarily really like to own the ETFs. I'd rather be more company-specific. There are definitely some opportunities in the smaller stocks, but there's a lot more potential minefields, I think, to navigate there.
Okay, Jesse, always great comments. We are going to be having you back on in the next segment, and we are going to be talking inflation. So everyone stick around for that, as Jesse and I just need to take a quick break.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
You have been lied to. Generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror. And now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Pre-order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@GCNlive.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. I am continuing to chat with Jesse Felder. And as I mentioned on the tail end of last segment, we are going to be talking about inflation. And Jesse, even when you listen or read over the recent Fed statement, they are even starting to accept the fact that inflation, through a number of different measurements, is right around their 2% target, especially even if we just look at the 10-year inflation break even, the TIPS spread, we are over 2%. 2.18, which is the highest level since back in 2014. What are your initial comments on the inflation that we are seeing in the U.S.?
Well, I think there's two different things to think about here. There's, you know, cyclical inflationary forces and then the secular longer term forces. And actually those have been disinflationary for a long time. But I think we're seeing a lot of, you know, cyclical forces right now, just with the very low unemployment rate and pressures on the wage side, but also cost of goods. I think this earnings season was really interesting to hear from companies, all different kinds of companies talk about both pressures in terms of cost of goods and then also in terms of, you know, wage pressures because, you know, there's just not that many potential applicants out there to fill the jobs needed. And I think part of this is also comes from, you know, when you get fiscal stimulus like we did with the tax cut, so when unemployment is already so low, you know, that can magnify natural inflationary pulses. But I think what most people aren't paying attention to right now are the longer-term secular inflationary forces. You know, my friend Mark Yusko likes to say demographics are destiny, and, you know, I think the world of Mark, he's a brilliant guy, but I think people who talk about demographics and the aging populations in, among, you know, developed nations as a deflationary force may have it backwards, actually. You know, there was a paper that came out, the BIS recently published, and they found a very clear correlation between aging populations and rising inflation. And so this points to, you know, the fact that the disinflationary pulse that we've had from, you know, since, gosh, the late 70s, early 80s, last 35 years or so, is largely a function of the population kind of makeup that we've seen. A huge boom in the labor force, you know, was essentially the baby boomers all hitting their peak earning years. That is a huge, you know, supply of labor coming in. That's a disinflationary force. And now that the baby boomers are retiring and the potential labor force to take over those jobs is much smaller, it's a huge shift from disinflationary, you know, secular force to a longer-term inflationary force. And the BIS makes this very clear, you know, in around the world, and not just in the United States, but I think we're seeing a very clear transition, you know, based on demographics that make for an inflationary backdrop for longer term. So I think that's you know, one thing people aren't quite paying attention to right now, because you still hear about secular stagnation and how massive debt levels lead to you know, lower inflation and these types of things. But I think people aren't paying attention enough to the demographic impacts on inflation.
You are right. Everybody does kind of get distracted by the day-to-day movements in some markets or other stories that can, I guess, swing the verdict or the thoughts of where inflation is going. Just look at what the U.S. dollar has been doing, and everyone's pointing to U.S. dollar as well as commodity prices, input prices, all those rising. But in terms of aging demographics, does that mean that we will, or you think we will, continue to see just a general uptick in inflation, or is there some level there where inflation, you could argue, gets out of hand to the upside?
So that's exactly what I'm worried about is I think, you know, the global central banks have been so incredibly, ultra loose with monetary policy that if they're not, and I think this is the reason why the BIS put this paper out is saying, hey guys, you want to have ultra loose monetary policy. That's been fine in a disinflationary environment, you know, for the last 35 years. But now, if inflation is reversing, these secular forces are reversing, there could be major risks with ultra-loose monetary policy, inflation getting out of control. And especially here in the United States, I interviewed Bill White on my podcast, maybe a year ago. He was the chief economist at the BIS, and he pointed me to a paper called Some Unpleasant Monetarist Arithmetic from the 70s, I think it was from the 60s or 70s, and basically points out that when the central bank can do pretty much whatever they want to do as long as the fiscal authorities stay, you know, pretty conservative. But now that we have major fiscal stimulus going on at the very, you know, tail end of one of the longest economic expansions in history, it could create some serious inflationary pressures. Essentially, this is where, you know, the fiscal authority can dominate the monetary authority so that the central bank isn't essentially able to do what they want to do anymore, which is try and stimulate the economy because the fiscal authorities have taken over. And so all that means is the central bank could be forced to turning their attention to reining in inflation rather than being able to pursue these ultra-loose policies that they've wanted to pursue for a long time. And this is kind of unique to the United States right now. Europe and whatnot, we're not seeing the kind of massive tax cuts and things that we're seeing here in the United States. The one risk that this puts the central bank in is they may be forced to raise rates to control inflation, but the debt of the government is so large that their ability to raise rates is also constrained because they could be forced to raise to the point where the government can't afford to even make its interest payments anymore. So I think we're approaching a really interesting time where the central bank for the first time in 35 years or longer is faced with a very aggressive, you know, fiscal authority in the form of the Trump administration. So I do think these, you know, we're seeing both cyclical and secular inflationary forces pick up, which could really put the Fed in a bind these 20 years.
That's a good point to end it there, Jesse, is that the Trump administration is, you could say, making the Fed's job a little bit harder. They're not exactly reading from the same book, and that being said, it seems like Trump doesn't really read from any playbook day to day. So that is kind of throwing a little wrench in the Fed's plans, but hey, I still think that the Fed is very much on course for two more, potentially even three rate hikes this year. And the data continues to, for the most part, line up with it. But as you have pointed out, some of the inflation data, and I think even in that first segment, look at some of those bang stocks. Thanks for your time again, Jesse, and have a great weekend.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation
reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. Happy to report that I have Sean Broderick on the line with me. I'm going to be having Sean back on a more regular basis on the KE Report. As a reminder, Sean is the natural resource analyst at Weiss Ratings. Also writes his newsletter called The Wealth Supercycle. And Sean, what we're first going to talk about is uranium. I haven't been getting a whole lot of commentary on uranium, but you mentioned to me off mic that, you know what, you have started to recommend a couple of uranium stocks, and you have hit those stocks pretty much near the bottom. Uranium is still around the $21 level, so not necessarily skyrocketing higher, more or less trading in a range. But what do you see, the opportunities in uranium right now?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is I put out my most recent uranium report, and I hadn't put one out in a long, long time. But I saw what was happening in the industry, so on March 28, I issued a new one, and boy, did that hit the bottom, big time. Now, I gave people 10 picks. This went to my subscribers, I can speak about some of those picks right now because I also put some in, like, well, Supercycle, for example. And, you know, I mean, there is just a lot going on in the industry. People can see the tightness right now because so much production around the world has been shut in. And, in fact, there's another mine in Africa that's going to be shut in very soon, that there's more supply coming off and off. Now, you will hear some people say, look, over the next 20 years, we're going to see a lot of U.S. nuclear power plants reach the end of their actual license operating, so they'll shut down, and we won't need those nuclear plants supplied anymore. And there is that view, but that's a very U.S.-centric view. If you look globally, there's a tremendous amount of building going on. There are 14 new nuclear power plants coming online this year. That's the most in the longest time. And not only in China, which many people know, of course, that's like the big hotspot for new nuclear power plants, but also the Middle East and like places like that. All this building, building, building. So we are going to see demand ramp up as well, and I expect to see the licenses for the U.S. nukes extended as they have been before and extended again, and they will build new nuclear power plants here eventually. And the reason is because as much as we all like renewable energy, and I certainly do, you know, it isn't something you can count on at night. There are problems, and so that's why you need nuclear power, which, unless there's a real problem, is one of the cleanest sources of energy around. So the new plants are like much better, much safer, and so we'll see lots more of those new ones built. And so I expect that to be like a real important stepping stone on the road to our new energy future. And so it'll be a worldwide thing, and so we have all this new demand coming online, and at the same time, as I said, you know, they had lots of production shut in because they can't afford to produce uranium at like $21 a pound. It's just not going to work for them. Just to give you one more thing, I just had an interview with the guys at UEC, which is Uranium Energy Corp. And, in fact, it's posted on my YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and look for Sean Broderick, and remember there's no Ian Broderick, then you can see that interview, which I just put up over the weekend. I was speaking to, like, those guys, and, like, they aren't going to actually start mining again down in Texas. And they used to be a producing miner, but they shut it all in when the price got too low. And they aren't going to start actually producing again until the price of uranium gets to somewhere between 40 and 45 bucks a pound. And they make money at 30 bucks a pound. They just need prices to be higher for longer. At the same time, Cameco, which, you know, that's like the biggest producer in the West, they actually shut in a mine in the last year, Cigar Lake, which is a huge mine. And now, finally, they're starting to make money, because it's cheaper for them to actually purchase uranium on the open market and then fulfill their contracts. Uranium is stupid cheap. It can't last at this price for that much longer. I'm not saying prices have to skyrocket in the next year, but the bottom is in. And so we'll see prices trend higher, and there are some real bargains out there because these stocks got slammed down into the dirt with a shovel. I mean, they are just flattened. So you can pick up some real bargains here.
Good comment, Sean. Uranium is a bargain down at this price, and you would think that the stocks, they will, once uranium gets moving, start to pick up some steam, but even in the uranium stock sector, so many companies have been cleaned out, switched to focus altogether. In terms of that ongoing argument, though, of reactors being built, and there will be more demand, so that side of the equation will help prices rise higher. In all fairness, I've been hearing that for 5 or 6 years now. When does that finally matter?
You know, and I feel the same way. And, like, I had people calling me the uranium industry in, like, say, the early part of the year, and I just didn't want to talk to them because I've been hearing these same promises for years. They're saying, this is the time when things are going to turn. This is the time when things are going to turn. And the thing we have to understand is miners have to be optimists. They have to be optimists or they wouldn't get out of bed in the morning, because there are so many obstacles in actually finding and building and running a mine that it's almost insane. So you have to be an optimist in this business, and that's why they are the way they are. That said, when we've seen so much production actually shut in, when we see everyone from Kazakhstan to Cameco to the U.S. Department of Energy stop selling uranium into the market, then we really see supply come off, and that's the kind of thing we need to lift the weight off the market, because it's really a supply story now. Now, one more thing that I will mention, and this is one of those wild cards, and before the show, you and I were talking about wild cards, you know, that could affect this market either way. We really don't know about some of these things, but now the Russians are mad at us over a whole bunch of stuff that I'm not going to get into. And so in, like, their version of a parliament, they have a bill that will stop them from actually selling uranium or enriched uranium products to the U.S., and they're actually a big supplier of this stuff to us. Now, will that bill go anywhere? We don't know. If tensions heat up between the U.S. and Russia, that actually could happen. And that's one more thing that could affect the market. So the market has seen some good news, and I'm sure many people are thinking, well, the good news is priced in. We saw stocks bump up a little bit, you know, but, like, that's going to be the end of it. There is more potential good news out there. There could also be bad news. This is a risky market, that's for sure. But as I said, we're at some valuations now where some of these stocks really make sense. And I think that you just have to, you know, I mean, it's not like you should bet the house on it, but you definitely want to be in this market at least a little bit.
So, Sean, when it comes to stocks, please share with us maybe one or two that you have recommended, and maybe just in general where you think that sweet spot is in terms of investing in uranium companies.
Sure. Well, I mean, we're certainly in Cameco. That's one we have in, like, Wealth Supercycle, and we're up very nicely on that because we bought it a while ago, and it's been rallying, you know? And that posted a surprise profit that gave it its latest boost, and that's because they're not producing, or at least not producing from that mine, and they have, like, a 10-month that they said they were going to shut that mine down and then consider bringing it back on. Let me tell you, as anyone in the mining business can tell you, bringing a mine on or offline is not a decision you make just by flipping a coin. It's a huge decision, and it wouldn't surprise me if, like, the Cigar Lake mine actually stays offline for longer than that, simply because they want to see what actually happens with this market. They want to see some real momentum in the price.
Okay. So not much more to say other than there aren't a whole lot of sellers. There are a lot of people sitting on cash waiting for some opportunity, and maybe this reprieve in the dollar when it ends will be that next driver higher for hopefully a breakout. But we will wait and see. Otherwise, hey, Sean, great having you back on the show. I look forward to chatting with you again in a couple weeks, and I hope that you have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-676-9879. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests, wherever you are, I will find you. Pests, You've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-676-9879. 1-800-676-9879. 30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutral. Neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside of our borders. At Miles Frank Limited, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Frank Limited is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box system in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals, or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid foundational storage partnered with the most respected name in security. That's Miles Frank Unlimited. Celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Frank Unlimited. A name you can trust.
Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am chatting with Byron King. He is the co-author of The Gold Speculator with Jim Rickards and Byron King. Byron is more of the stock-focused individual, so we're going to talk a little bit about some of the stocks he's recently recommending, but we're going to divert a little bit away from talking about precious metals, because, Byron, it's one thing you were writing to subscribers very recently is a bit more of a focus on copper. Let's start at the higher end and talk about some of the drivers to copper, one being general inflation uptick, which is also contributing to copper, or copper's also contributing to that inflation uptick, but then also a little bit more interest and acceptance that copper is a large player in this whole battery metal, energy metals story that continues to develop. In your eyes, what are some other major drivers to a sustainably higher copper price that we've been consistently seeing?
Well, first, it's good to be back with you. It's been a few weeks, but yes, the copper story is still going. Let's back up about, 10, 15 years and look at a little bit of history. One of the big drivers of the copper story earlier was, China, building one of these, big city a week, a new power plant every couple of days, so China was driving the world copper market. And then, you've got the whole rest of the world, outside of the developed world in North America, Europe, parts of Asia, the rest of the world is developing too. People there, they like electric power. They like electric lights. They like air conditioning, things like that. And all of that has to do with, rotating machinery and transmitting electricity. And that takes copper. So there you go. That's sort of what we're building on. But now, with the whole build out, in the say electrification of transportation space, you know, that's even more copper. You know, I mean, in a typical internal combustion engine car, you know, sitting in your driveway outside or whatever, you know, you might have, you know, depending on what car, what have you, you might have 50 pounds of copper in that car, you know, in terms of the alternator and various wiring, things like that. In terms of an electric car, will take, you know, upwards of, you know, 200, 250 pounds of copper for all of the things that are in it, all the motors, all the wiring, all the braking systems and what have you that need that copper. So there's a fivefold increase right there. And then there are just so many other things that are going into that battery metals, technology metals kind of revolution. So I think that the last, you know, 10 and 15 year, you know, bullishness in the copper market is going to continue over in terms of demand. And then the other angle of it is that when you look at the supply side, many of the world's large copper mines are long in the tooth. I mean, some of the biggest and the highest output mines are, you know, I mean, they're 30 and 40 and 50 years old, which, you know, you're getting towards the end of the life of many of these mines. You're getting down into lower grade ores, more expensive to mine. So anyhow, the point is that the prospects are very, very ripe for copper companies. And as with all mining, as with all metals, I mean, grade is king, grade is good, you know, grade is profit, you know, tonnage is cost. So you're looking for out there, you're looking for companies that have, you know, a big number in terms of the resource. You're looking for as high of a grade as you can get your hands on, and you are looking for, you know, as low of a capex as you can get your hands on, and you're looking for a long life of mine. Those are the kind of plays that you want to look at from the standpoint of speculating in the junior space. You know, you're looking for companies that are looking for this kind of a deposit, not that this tiny little company is ever going to grow and, you know, build some big, you know, mile-long strip mine with, you know, making copper. It's more like, you know, they'll find a deposit and then they'll get bought out, you know. So and we're already starting to see some of that buyout activity happening right now.
So, Byron, one of the arguments or one of the points that shies some people away from the copper stories, especially the more advanced ones, because there are a number of good copper stories out there that you look at the numbers and you look at kind of the cash flow projections that the mine could produce. It looks very good on paper, but they have very high initial capex costs. And that was one issue with a lot of mines as we were in that bear market, with large companies being afraid to take on these high upfront cost projects. Do you think that's still an issue, or should investors be looking at these larger projects that, yes, cost a lot on the front end, but overall make a lot of money?
Well, you know, I think you should be open-minded, and you really have to take every project, you know, as it comes. I mean, you have to look at each one, and you know, you're not throwing darts at a board, that's for sure. I mean, the biggest of the big would be, you know, Northern Dynasty and the Pebble project out there. You know, it's so big that it's a 50, 80, 100 year type of project, but with immense upfront capital costs. And so, you know, I wish those guys well. I've met them, I've spoken with them, I've followed them. You know, they're not exactly what we're looking for in, you know, in our newsletter. I mean, just last week, I won't mention the name, but out of fairness to the readers, I'll give them a couple more weeks to buy in, but I recommended a wonderful company that's in Arizona. It's right in the heart of the copper belt in southeast Arizona, you might say. You know, great economics, great logistics, fabulous rock body, and a very, very impressively low capex to get the thing up and running. And, you know, they're probably going to be, you know, producing copper. You know, this is 2018. By this time next year, 2019, they're going to be selling copper. And so, you know, they're a very advanced stage developer. You know, they had to get through the permitting hurdles and everything else, but, you know, but they're there. And so, you know, really good grade in terms of how it's coming out of the ground. You know, intriguing technology, great logistics. I mean, low cost. We're looking at under a dollar per pound in terms of production cost for things like that.
All right, Byron, let's shift focus, look at another company, Nevsun Resources. Some news out earlier this week about a takeout offer from Lundin. And what happened was Nevsun shareholders actually rejected that deal. The shares have done very well moving into the end of the week. But what are your comments on Nevsun as a general company and the value proposition potentially here?
Basically, they've been developing, working on this Timok deposit in Serbia, which I've been following for 8 or 9 years since it was Reservoir Minerals. But Timok is extremely attractive in terms of grade, and it's a combination of gold and copper. So you've got the gold credits and the copper credits all contributing to a very low cost of production. Again, you know, in the range of under $1 a pound. You know, when you're up and running, they have to dig some tunnels, build some underground workings, which they're doing, and they're doing it in Serbia, so the labor is relatively, you know, low cost for a European venue. But they're in play. Lundin Mining came in. Nevsun was at a market cap of, you know, depending on the share price in any given day, they had a market cap in the $600 to $700 million range. Nevsun or Lundin bid about $1.15 billion for them, and that right now the market cap for Nevsun is something over $1 billion. But the share price is still rising, even though they turned down the Lundin offer. They said it's not enough. And the reason that the share price is rising is because there are other companies out there that had better use this opportunity, with a company in play, to go in there and also, you know, throw some money on the table. One of which would be, I would suspect, I don't know this, but I would suspect that a company like Freeport should come in there and take a very, very good hard look. I mean, Freeport already owns the deeper side of Timok. They own the porphyry, which is down below, but this would be their chance to pick up the high-grade zone, which is in the more shallow region underground. And then Freeport has you know, lots and lots of issues, let's say, with the Grasberg mine in Indonesia. So in terms of getting themselves a good deal, a landing spot, in case, things don't go as planned in Indonesia, there'd be nothing wrong with Freeport picking up the Serbian project as well, or any other, copper company that's looking for, high-grade, low-cost, buildable projects such as Nevsun has. And then there are others out there as well.
All right, Byron, unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio show, but you and I are going to continue this conversation just a little bit longer because I have a couple more questions for you to further develop some thoughts about the copper sector, but then also the precious metals sector. If you want to listen to that full version of the interview, please visit our website, www.kereport.com, and click on the weekend show posting, Hour 1, that will be posted in Segment 4. Byron, it's always great having you on the show. I hope that you have a great rest of your weekend, and I hope everybody else who is listening in has a fantastic weekend. And for all the other mothers out there, very happy Mother's Day. It's going to be the first one that my wife and I can celebrate with her as a mother. We are very excited.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customers. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby. I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, and we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.